Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
William McHenry University Athletics.
Every sport you find exciting.
Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
And my
This is Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
We're covering everything William Carey University Athletics. From the field to the court and the diamond. On Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
And welcome everyone to another edition of Crusader Talk. Glad to have you with us on this Monday. Recapping a week of William Carey being on the road.
Yeah.
On the road again, as Willie Nelson once told us. But some good action while they're out there on the road. A majority winning week for the Crusaders, especially if you're a soccer fan, as the Crusaders made a road trip out towards Georgia and came away with victories all the way around. Volleyball, pretty decent week as well. But some notes to talk about with that. I'm Caleb Hamill. He's Josh West. Dalton Stanford's behind the board for us today. Josh, you, like the Crusaders, have been on road trips constantly lately. How is that road trip as we join you through the magic of technology?
Yeah, through the magic of technology here from Chattanooga, Tennessee. I guess this is one of the most technically fantastic places in the country, if not the place, for great Wi-Fi and outdoor activities and so forth. So that's where I am. I was just over in Franklin, Tennessee at the Vanderbilt Legends Club for a work event just outside southwest of Nashville. And if you haven't been in Nashville in a while, you won't recognize Nashville. Have you been there in a while?
It's been a little bit. It's been a little bit for me.
It is incredible.
I tell you, last time I went to Nashville was when that solar eclipse happened back in, I think it was 2016 or 17. Yeah. I was there.
Now, I found out the next big eclipse is going to be in our area is actually going to cross through Starkville.
Really?
We're going to get a partial view of it here in Hattiesburg, but I think it's like right either before football season starts, or it could be like during the first weekend of football. I have to check the dates again, but it could be a really cool week for college football or just early school year for whoever it may be as that solar eclipse happens. But that's a cool note.
Yeah.
But what all is new over there in Nashville that makes it unrecognizable?
It's just, I think you just said it, everything's new to me. I mean, just being in Franklin, Tennessee, it was just like Madison times three or times four, or, you know, you take just the best part of West Hattiesburg, you know, just the newer parts of Hattiesburg or so forth, and then multiply it times five or times 10. It's just, they can't grow and build fast enough for, you know, just a part, you know, high end apartment complexes going up everywhere, eateries, you know, every type of store imaginable. It's just commerce galore. So it was just interesting to see.
Yeah, and I think about back when Hardy Street got that extra lane added on both sides. Everybody's like, oh, okay, that's going to fix our traffic problem. Nope, it's still there. It's still there. It doesn't matter. There's just more lanes for you to get stuck in. But that's how big economic development happens. I mean, you all of a sudden get too big for your britches, and it's hard to come up with big solutions. Now we got to use 4th Street, Oak Grove Road, Lincoln Road Extension, all those to try to get around. I'm sure Franklin and Nashville have theirs too. Obviously, you're doing some recruiting while you're out there too, right? Trying to find the next volleyball and basketball talent for William Carey? A little bit of soccer,
My
too?
My goodness. It's everywhere. You certainly pass the facilities, and you certainly hear the stories of people talking about, you know, their kids in this. And, well, how old's your kid? Well, they're 10. They're at this Under Armour event, or they're at this golf tournament, or they're at this, you know, event. It's remarkable. Youth sports in our country right now and where that's at, whether that's all good or, you know, mostly good with 8 and 10 year olds, but you know, just passing some of the, you know, seeing one of the guys was going to school at UT Southern that was playing in my golf group today. Saw another, you know, sticker on a car for Cumberland's, you know, so it's neat to be around in Tennessee and see some of our NAIA rivals and to see that. I will say that's very cool.
Yeah. Now, speaking of some of the SSAC and NAIA rivals, got to look at the SSAC standings across different sports. And right now, William Carey is either tied, I guess it's only exclusively tied for all of soccer, both men and women, and volleyball. Three-way tie atop the league for volleyball with Mobile, Loyola, and Carey, with Mobile actually coming to town this weekend. And then soccer is tied with Life on the men's side. And actually, women may have an outright first place in the standings right now for soccer. I'm going to have to go back and double check myself on that, but yeah, the results are coming in and helping out William Carey, as they've already had some tough competition on all fronts so far. And Josh, it's a pretty big matchup this weekend. I know we're going to get a little bit to that later on, but Crusaders perhaps a little battered right now in volleyball.
Oh, I would say so. I mean, you've already lost players for the year. And then, you know, I immediately fired off a text to Coach Shirley after the big win against Blue Mountain on Friday. And, you know, her response, and I shared it with you and Clayton, was, hey, you know, thank you so much, but, you know, be praying for Sophia. She's injured her knee. Hope it's not serious. And then, you know, I see the score from Saturday and a loss to Tennessee Southern, which I think for you and I, Caleb, that was a bit surprising.
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. And then you find out that Alicia Portee went down with an ankle. And she's going to miss some, you know, time. It's not, it's more than just, you know, she'll be back, but maybe not 100% next weekend. She could be out a week or two or three to get that healed up. So I guess the thing that we were talking about earlier today is, with William Carey Volleyball right now, we've got to just, I don't want to say lower expectations, we've kind of got to shelve expectations and kind of have a wait-and-see approach, because I don't think that anything that happens now through the end of the regular season, if there is a path to health or more health towards the conference tournament, I think all the focus now goes to the conference tournament for the ladies to be as healthy as possible to be able to put the best product on the floor to try to get into the, you know, national tournament and to win the conference. I think the regular season, as banged up as they are, if that is going to jeopardize the postseason, I think they kind of restructure things a little bit. Do you think I'm off there?
No, I don't. And the SSAC is not traditionally a power when it comes to women's volleyball in the NAIA. And so with that, you're mainly relying on those automatic bids to get in. Is there the occasional one that sneaks in? Sure. Like, you know, say last year or years gone by, whenever Blue Mountain has been so talented and has had their terrifically undefeated regular season or so, and then all of a sudden has a quick exit in either pool play or when we only had one bid, did not win the full championship game or match. That's an opportunity where they could get an automatic bid as an at-large team. Excuse me, not automatic bid, but you know what I mean.
Sure.
That said, I do think that you're onto something there. Is this a situation where we have to temper our expectations for what the rest of the regular season looks like as Carey prepares for the SSAC tournament? Perhaps. You still have to be one of the top eight teams that are left to qualify unless something's changed with the format. And then you have to make it to the tournament championship game. Basically win your pool to win your spot for the national tournament scene.
Yeah, I agree. And so get well fast. You know, I try to reach out to Rhonda just right before the show and just give a little bit of an update. And, you know, obviously it's evening time, so she's busy with the family. But, again, our thoughts or prayers are definitely with this team to get healthy. And if they're healthy, they've already proven that certainly at home, neutral floor, I think if they can get a couple of pieces back, they're certainly one of the top two or three teams to win that tournament.
Yeah, certainly could be. Now, you're talking about health of those, and as we celebrate National Coaches Day, I saw that post from Carey earlier, which, by the way, fantastic group of coaches that we're blessed to have at William Carey, top to bottom, from the ones that have been here for 40-plus years to those that are still relatively new to the program, to those that have been alumni and now are in the coaching ranks, to those that are outside coming in, all around, just a fantastic staff, and it's great to work with them. But we do want to share just an opportunity for you as fans of William Carey to lift up some of those in prayer, both the ones that are, you know, healthy and doing well and in the middle of their seasons, but also got word from Coach Farrell that he had a little episode and had to go to the hospital today. He is recovering. In fact, he was good enough to text me whenever I reached out to him asking if he would be able to make it onto Crusader Talk tonight. He goes, no, they're going to keep me for some observation. I say, wait, what? out of nowhere. But again, happy that he's well enough to be texting and still cracking jokes and having a good time. And that he's stable and everything is on the mend with him right now. and to pull back the curtain, reached out to Coach English just to see – I still call him Coach – Athletics Director Tracy English, just to see if he might be available to sub in Coach Farrell's absence. And he goes, sorry, I'm on the way to the ER because Coach Fletcher got hit in the face with a softball at practice. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. They're dropping like flies out here.
So then, and then you told me to call Coach Garriga. I'm like, what are you doing? I'm putting Coach Garriga at danger. So the first thing I did before I even barely said hello, I said, are you well and are you okay? Are you safe? And, but because it was only halfway tongue in cheek, it was like everybody we were reaching out to. And so she's like, maybe I just need to stay in my office. I said, yeah, stay there until the interview. After the interview, you can go about your day.
That's right. And we're going to get to talk to her second segment. And hopefully,
yes,
from when you talk to her this afternoon to now, she is still doing well and going to be able to join us.
But, I put her on high alert.
Got to. It's close to her bedtime, too. We'll talk about that coming up in just a little bit. But good week for William Carey Athletics. And, hey, basketball season is just around the corner. That's why we're going to get to talk to Coach Jessica Garriga about the upcoming season, her inaugural season as head coach of William Carey Women's Basketball. That conversation and more coming up as Crusader Talk continues.
You're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Rocking and rolling along here into segment two.
You were jamming out over there, Caleb.
Absolutely. Yeah, Josh is the one that always, you know, mouths the announcer's opening lines about Crusader Talk. I was over here air guitar playing on that open.
I was headbanging along, and now my head hurts.
Getting old, Dalton. Watch out.
27, don't say
come
that.
Come on. Glad to be with y'all here on Crusader Talk this evening. Josh, our next guest is one that we're oh so familiar with and always appreciate having on, and about to embark upon her first season as head coach of William Carey Women's Basketball. Coach Jessica Garriga, now on your radio or podcast. Coach, I appreciate you taking the time out of your evening to join us because I hear talk that this is cutting into your bedtime tonight. Thank you for the sacrifice you make.
Absolutely. You can always count on Josh to give the little secrets behind the scenes.
That's his job. He's a storyteller. We all are.
Absolutely. Y'all sound like y'all having a fun time over there. But, yeah, we have some early mornings. We have about 3 days during the week. We get up around 6 or so, but for me, traveling, you know, from hour and 10 out, it's a good 3:45 a.m. morning. So the first night is a little bit tough to go to bed early, but that next night, to like on Monday nights, I have no problem at all winding it up pretty early.
As is the colloquial, bless your heart. That's a lot to go through. But, hey, that's a big sacrifice. And there are a lot of these, you know, girls that are heavily involved in some difficult majors, especially nursing, and that requires them to be up and at them pretty early too. So a lot of this is to help make it attainable for them to do both the academics and the athletics side. And that's a big balancing act that you have to navigate.
For sure. We got some pieces behind there. But, you know, these kids are student-athletes, and I feel it's really important to try to work around that. They're high-caliber kids. You know, they've worked real hard to put themselves in a position to be good at both. And so it's a little bit inconvenient in terms of scheduling, but we have, you know, Leah and Daisy are in nursing, and we have Maddie and Chenille working with some residency hours, and Jim's doing an internship. So, you know, a lot of great things, and many of our girls are very high-performing in the classroom. So, but they've been troopers because we get here early. I have to get there early and coach, but they actually have to practice. So kudos to them in terms of that. But we're doing whatever it takes. I think that's what gives us our best shot this year, and they've been locked in, and everyone's just been ready to go.
Coach Garriga, for you, you know, it's a season that is in a way new but yet in another way, everything's the same. How has the energy been as you're putting your stamp on the way you run your practices? And I know you've talked to a lot of colleagues, you've visited a lot of your colleagues and watched some of their summer workouts and so forth, and you've been piecing it all together. This is something that's been many years in the making. How's the reception been from so many familiar faces on this team? And how have you felt comfortable kicking off your first year as head coach?
So first, I can't say enough. These kids are the best group of kids you can coach. It's a privilege to coach them. So to show up every day and to have that, you know, we have some good days and some better days, but they're always willing to come in and work. They're willing to, you know, be coached and be coached hard. So I appreciate that. You know, I've come in and I've challenged them with a few new things in terms of putting some stuff in and spending some time, I'm going to call it teaching time. And things are a little bit slow, and then there's other days we're just really hard getting after it. And so just in terms of, like, not bringing in too much as an overload all at one time and then not just doing all the same, I'm trying to just find a good little balance there to where I give them enough of the new stuff to challenge them, and then you will see some Tracy English playbook and some things that's just been comfortable. I mean, we had a very successful team. With, you know, we did graduate 6 with 2 first team all conference kids, but we also have a solid core that we're returning. So I'm not just to completely abandon that. So we're using some comfort zone and some things that they're really good at, and just working the new kids in on that. And then there's some things like with our secondary break that I'm really emphasizing some up tempo and really forcing some actions and some spaces that's not necessarily designated, that lets them play basketball a little bit. And so that takes some patience, but it's been exciting because I trust these kids. They have high IQ, and their ability to play without the ball is really nice.
Coach, I know it's too early to start talking about what would be your ideal starting five for the first games of the season, but if you were to talk about some of these returners or even possibly some of the newcomers to your program, who are the ones that are going to have to really step up this year in the gaps that were left behind by those that graduated or left the program from last year for this team to have success in the coming season?
So that's an easy one, and this one's going to be different because the past few seasons, Matty Ladner has come off the bench, and in my opinion, there's no better six man in the league. But in contemplating that it's her senior year, I've definitely worked Matty into the starting lineup, so that's going to be interesting to see her go right from the start of the jump, which getting Jenna in, that moves Jenna a little bit to the four, so we're playing with that a little bit, which she did play a little bit of three and a little bit of four last year. But bringing those both in does add, of course, Chenille. Chenille is doing Chenille things, and she's looking great. and that I can say less with that. So I've been real pleased with her. And then, of course, Addie Freely steps into that one position, really kind of working on her vocal leadership and those kind of things. Her game looks good. You know, she had shoulder surgery over the summer, and I kind of wondered if it'd be a little bit of a slow start for her getting in and taking contact and stuff again, but she hasn't missed a beat and she looks great. And then Leah Sutton is really going to be, she's always been a special kid. She's looking really good. She creates, she makes the right decisions. She hits shots when you need shots. So, you know, and then we did graduate quite a few, but we have some depth here. So you got Daedria Cuevas, you know, and she's looked phenomenal so far in the fall. And then some of those younger kids are some of the other kids that maybe didn't get quite so many minutes here and there have really stepped into the gap, you know, in Brooklyn and Bailey, Mia, Anna Rose. Anna Rose has her space and she has her highlights as a senior. Her and Maddie are my only two seniors. And Jenna's a senior in the classroom, but a junior on the court. So really good things in all of them. So even though it's not a ton of minutes and experience, they've converted over and they've really been able to plug in pieces. So it's exciting. And then we have our newcomers.
Oh, of course. And Coach, obviously, we've seen the playing ability of several of these that you've mentioned. And I do think that Addison Shear is likely to make a big splash and now operating fully at the point. And I wanted to talk about this. Though she's young in age, does she bring home a leadership quality, or is that kind of more anchored by those of, you know, your other players that are more senior leadership?
I will say we have more senior leadership in terms of that. Like Maddie, Jenna, and Chanel are phenomenal, and they're ultimate teammates. They always talk. Addie has, she's only a sophomore. That's what you got to keep in mind. And so we've been talking with her, and she's still stepping into, you know, can I be more vocal? Am I able to hold people accountable? Mm. And she does all the things right, and she's doing all those things, and she's just waiting right there. But Addie is going to be, she's going to be something special, and I'm real excited working with her. I always talk to her. I was like, look, Addie, you got to be vocal. We got to get, I said, because they need to hear your voice from the court when I'm not there, because I haven't been doing it for very long, but I feel myself, I want to be a point guard coach. I was a point guard as a player, so I like having a special connection with my point guard. I want them out there being the coach when I'm not on the floor. So real excited about developing that. She's going to step into that beautifully.
Josh, I'm getting jealous over here just listening to the hype coming in for this season, because you're going to get to be at all these games, get to call them all, and you're going to get a lot of excitement coming up in this season.
Well, yeah, and as I'm hearing this conversation, I'm looking at the schedule and realize that we are just weeks away from it getting started. And mm-hmm. Coach, the thing that I kept thinking about while I was listening you talk was, what is the identity that you're trying to instill in this team? What do you want this team's identity to become, you know, very early in this season? What has been the push? What is being vocalized every day in practice of what you want to establish early that people think about this team?
You know, I think we've always prided ourselves in our ability to rebound and defend, to hold people to less than 60, because that's something you can do every single night. And then offense, you know, you can have some good offensive nights and some bad offensive nights, and sure, we've got some kids that can get it done there. But, like, we've always just been that way. You know, we say hold opponents to less than 60, try to average 40-plus rebounds, hold our turnovers to 15. I think that's always been a staple. I've always believed in that. But I think I'm going to try to get us to play a little bit more faster tempo in the transition game. We got some pieces that in the open court, I really trust these girls. So I think just trying to teach them when to hit the gas and when to pump the brakes and then slow things down. But, yeah.
There's a lot of moving pieces in this basketball arena, and we're so looking forward to seeing how they all mesh and meld together as we get going. Man, we're only 3 weeks or so away. October 24th will be the start of the season as y'all go over to Montgomery, Alabama to face a couple teams of the Faulkner Classic, and then back at home for the first home matchup of the season against Dillard. And good task on November the 4th, a Tuesday, and then right back to work against Southern Miss on a Friday, November the 7th. Hot start to the year, Coach, and we're looking forward to the Jessica Garriga era.
Hey, so let me give a real quick little shout-out for our first annual pickleball tournament that we're going to be having November 1st. And so we're putting together a 24-team tournament on campus, so that's going to be exciting. And we're selling sponsorships, and we're going to try to do this every year. We're starting a little bit small this year on campus.
All right, Coach. We'll get the details out. Thanks so much for joining us, all right?
You're tuned in to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
All right, keeping it rolling here on Crusader Talk. Good conversation with Coach Jessica Garriga. She was telling us right into the break about their upcoming pickleball tournament. You can register. That'll be November 1st. Registration is online. You can find it, I believe, on carryathletics.com. If not, check out the women's basketball social media accounts. They'll be sure to share it there. And we will try to pass that link along to you as well. If we find it, we may throw it in the show notes and give you a shortcut to it if you're listening in podcast form. But, Josh, that sounds like a fun event. Might have to get Clayton Rush to go out there and get involved. He's a big pickleballer.
Oh, he's a huge pickleballer. I couldn't help over here a little bit of you talking about that, and you know, he's very involved at that with his I guess guys group at church and things like that and whatnot. He's got a group of guys that he gets with, and yeah, I mean, I think it's a lot of times it's, Clayton, what are you doing, can you be on the show? Well, I got pickleball.
there was a time that was the priority, or he would come in here sweating because he had been at it since about 6 o'clock. So
yeah, I don't know if I can pick it up now. I don't know if I want to. You know, Clayton's got a few years on me, so.
You know, I found out about pickleball way back when I was, I guess it was my junior year, you know, between my junior and senior year of high school. went out to Denver, Colorado, and we would, as part of a mission trip, we'd go out there, and for showers, we would use the local YMCA. And while we were waiting on our turns over there, people were playing, especially older people, were playing pickleball in the gym portion. And it was just fascinating. They taught us all how to play, and I was pretty good back then. And then my wife decided that we needed to try to play at church. This is about a year ago. And she quickly told me that I was not a very good pickleball partner. So I've hung up the shoes and the racket since then, just let everybody else take charge.
Broke your heart. Absolutely. Broke your heart. But speaking of the ladies, though, doing this, I loved what Coach Gehrig was talking about. You know, there's so many golf tournaments that are established that have been around for a long time. But what a great opportunity to build connections with students, young alums. I think it's a great opportunity for them to get out and meet these wonderful ladies that are on this women's basketball team, because there's some great personalities, just some really high character individuals that are so easy to pull for. And I think they can really not only raise money for a great cause, and the participants will have a great time, but what a great opportunity to build the fan base. I just think it's a home run.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. I wish it was a better segue between home run and soccer, but I just can't do it. If it was the spring, it would be easy. But
yeah,
we will transition to the action on the pitch over the past week. And as I mentioned, a trip over to Georgia, pretty successful for both sides. William Carey women's soccer blanks Thomas on Saturday, and then the match prior on Thursday, were able to down Bruton Parker 8-1. Hate they surrendered that goal. That really just hurts the pride there. But yeah, get it nonetheless, and have a little bit of a break after that long trip, as they will wait till Saturday for their next meeting, and that'll be against Mobile this weekend on October the 11th, start of 1:30 on the docket for that match.
So the men now 9-2-1, is that correct?
9-2-1. 4-0 in conference play.
Yeah, and they were up to number 9 in the poll. And the poll does not come out every week heading into these, you know, this week's matches, and they got those two wins. The ladies at number 3 or number 2 in the country?
I believe still number 2. I don't know that Kaiser has been knocked down a rung yet.
Right. And where I'm going with that is just, you know, I think for me, a couple of weeks ago, I was going, this team's just not scoring goals like they did last year. That's okay. Defense is still there. It's a work in progress. And then all of a sudden, like 70 goals later, here they are again.
That's right. And I do have to say, Kaiser has lost a match that was against number 5 Cumberlands, but they are still at last check number 1 in the NAIA. But yeah, William Carey, especially whenever Clayton and I were watching them play, I guess it was Tennessee Southern a couple weeks back, that was our first recognition of this team is really putting together team goals, not just, you know, chances with an individual making a big play, or just like a chance counterattack or good deflection off a corner kick. You know, these are, you know, setups from good pressing action, moving forward with the ball, good through balls, you name it. Those girls are playing like a team at the right time as they're hitting the stretch down the back end of the schedule.
Caleb, I got a question for you on that, a follow-up to that. Is that primarily in large part Kieran Vallow, or is it multiple pieces?
I would say it's multiple pieces. You look at players like Argentina Estrada that are making good passes. Virginia Mesa, golly, what a threat for Carey, both on the shooting end but also on the assist end of things, because she would certainly at first glance make you think this player may not be, you know, that much of a – I keep using the word threat, but it's not somebody that I have to worry about as much. And then all of a sudden, you know, in a 1-2 little touch, she's all of a sudden scored. She's got a strong leg to kick with. And then also, she's just got great awareness. You know, once she gets into the box, you don't know where that ball is going to go. It's almost like a basketball player doing no-look passes at the top of the perimeter. She will just find the open person, and they'll knock it home. And you add that to players with Lauren Entremont, Kieran Vallow, we've already mentioned, and recently, not just Alessia Navarro, but Natoya Atkinson. Yeah, all of these great goal scorers that have really helped William Carey here lately. And they're going to come in huge over the next few weeks, because not only do they have Mobile this weekend, but the biggest matchup I think of the year so far in conference play is Life coming into town on Thursday, October the 16th.
Yeah, and I want to go back to your we didn't even mention Maddie, having Maddie back.
Oh, yeah.
Ella Jeffcoat being such a rock. But just throwing out a couple of MVP-type names. But going back to Virginia, you know, you can make the argument that she's just now getting to peak fitness. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, she was coming back from an injury, and now you're seeing what her ceiling is, closer to that ceiling. Wouldn't you say that's accurate?
I would say so. And that's the thing. Not to make a judgment call on this, but like from afar, you would think the physique doesn't match the athleticism that she possesses within her. And then all of a sudden, she just starts playing, and you're like, oh, gosh, I have to keep an eye on 30. She means business.
Oh, she does. No, she's that, just to use that, as you said a moment ago, she posts you up. When she can body you up at the top of the 18, at the top of the box, and you don't know which way she's going, that's dangerous. And you've got to respect that, and you've got to bring a lot of attention to her that, as you said, opens things up for everybody else.
Now, in looking at the men's side of things, just to kind of flip it around for a second, you've got a team that is scoring a little bit more than what we saw early on in the season. They're finding their footing a little bit, finding those guys, and they've gotten back-to-back wins. In fact, they've strung together what is currently an 8-game win streak. 2-0 win against Thomas on Saturday, and then 3-1 against Bruton Parker. And that's a Bruton Parker match that was level at 1 in the 62nd minute, and the carry just puts together two big goals there at the end, and Dennis Hamsich and Lewis Green, and we're able to put it away 3-1. But this is a team that is just gritting out some victories. They don't make it as easy as Coach Owen's squad makes it look. They just grind it out. They find a way to score their goals and make it happen. And some of it's great defense. Some of it is timely shooting. I don't know if you could boil it down to just one individual thing, Josh. They've made some changes, obviously, in goal. They've brought in Jamie Berry. They started off the year with Alex Malto. Alex had some struggles, and Berry, has allowed his goals too. But I think they found better footing with Berry in goal. And then also, too, just some of these pieces moving forward. It was such a big hole to fill with Colby Godbolt from last year, and Jamie Wynn, Billy Bogue, all of these goal scorers from last year. And now you're getting guys like Santiago Molina, Danny Molero. You also get Santiago, Pedro Santiago, that is, getting in with several goals so far to start this year. And these are the guys that have all of a sudden figured out their rhythm. They are getting the right passes, similar to how I described Coach Danny Owen's squad. They will find a way to prevent the counterattacks, but also get forward and get their shot attempts into where sooner or later they're going to go through and they're going to count and they're going to get a lead.
Well, I give credit to this coaching staff. Not afraid to make changes early in the season. If there were some players that were a little timid, for lack of a better word, if there were a couple of players that might not have been to the fitness for one reason or another that they needed to be, coach was able to identify that early, make those changes, and that woke some players up. So what he did was able to develop depth. When those players got their chances again, they were ready, and this is a team that they hoped they would have the depth, and that depth has now developed, and this is a very, very dangerous team. I think number 9, I think that's as low as you could put them right now. I think they move up in the next poll.
I certainly could. And with opportunities ahead of them, such as I mentioned Mobile coming up this weekend, you have Dalton State coming up for homecoming weekend. That's going to be a huge one. But also, too, you have Life, who is tied with Cary for the top spot in the league. By the way, it is tied for both men and women for soccer. But that said, Life and Dalton State are two huge matchups coming up for William Carey in the weeks to come, and they're back-to-back, October 16th and then October 18th. And Josh, I'm going to have to get back in touch with you to figure out how we're going to cover all this, because I've also got to get over to the Sports Hall of Fame banquet that night. I can't remember if we settled out you were going to cover that men's match or not. If you do, you're in for a treat, I'm sure.
Yeah, no, I've got your back. You know, I'll be ready. And what day is that?
That is October 18th, this Saturday. But you're in no matter what the day.
I've got you.
Your yes is on the table.
I've got you. The yes is on the table. Because I'd already said no to something else, so the yes is on the table.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, that's going to be the last home match of the regular season before Cary will, with all likelihood, host a home conference game as part of that conference tournament. It's always the top however many seeds, top four, I want to say, get a home match before they all travel out to Montgomery. So that's likely not the last time you're going to see William Cary men's soccer on Danny Owens Field. And in fact, even past that, could see the Crusaders hosting an opening round as they have so many years in recent memory. But on the rise, if you haven't bought in now, get in before the stock price gets too high, because William Cary soccer is real and they are living right at the moment. Volleyball, too, pretty good outside the loss to Tennessee Southern over the weekend. Still got some good potential going forward for the rest of the year. And again, basketball right around the corner. It's an exciting time to be a Crusader. We'll continue that conversation as we wrap up Crusader Talk with our fourth and final segment next.
Talking everything William Cary University Athletics. This is Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
All right, final segment with you here on Crusader Talk. Happy to be with you on this Monday. Recapping a good week of soccer for William Cary, some volleyball action as well. Also, too, want to look ahead for what is to come. We mentioned some of the athletics that are going on this weekend. All about the rival, Mobile, coming into town for both men's and women's soccer and volleyball as well. Volleyball's not only going to face Mobile this week, however. Josh is going to hightail it back from Chattanooga. Don't get a speeding ticket, Josh. Please be safe. We got a bad streak of Crusader people in jeopardy today, so don't add to the pot. But do have a volleyball match tomorrow night against Xavier, future, I should say, SSAC team, the Xavier Gold Nuggets. Which, by the way, we got to get the full story on why one's Gold Rush and the other's Gold Nuggets. I've never asked about it to the point of getting an answer, but The guys are Gold Rush, the women are Gold Nuggets. I guess it's because the people that were in the Gold Rush were looking for their gold nuggets, and they were guys. I don't know. Maybe somebody has a better answer than that. But going to be a fun one this week throughout athletics, but also on the horizon. This is the key, and I kind of alluded to it going to break earlier. Not only is the pickleball tournament going on November 1st, but earlier than that, on October the 18th, you got homecoming weekend. And a special shout-out, found out that my sister-in-law is going to be presented as part of the homecoming court. Shout-out, Heidi.
Hey.
But also we will have the Sports Hall of Fame banquet that weekend, and so that will be honoring several different Crusaders. If you missed it, Ben Smith had the announcement of who will be part of that crew, headlined by former athletics director and golf coach DJ Pulley. It's going to be so fun to reunite with DJ. It's been so many years since I've gotten to see that shiny bald head, and it's going to be fun to reunite. And Josh, I know he was one that brought you into the fold as well. You'll have that opportunity probably maybe before soccer or maybe at halftime to see him before we all go out and get gussied up for dinner.
Oh, yeah. I'm so thankful that the Lord used him in my life in that way. And, you know, he was just – you know, doing his thing. You know, it was just an opportunity presented itself based off a recommendation from a mutual friend, which was Ben Milam. And, you know, so he didn't think much of it. But for me, that was something that was certainly, you know, ordained in my life to happen, to be here. And it has meant the world to me to be a part of Crusader Athletics. So, yeah, it's that's going to be very special. And I think, like you said, it's special for a lot of people.
But I can personally attest that Cary is evidence to me that you can have fun while you're working. And it kind of helps when you have winning programs to cover. I'll say that as a Mississippi State alum, that was not a luxury I had very much. Although my time as a student was actually one of the more successful seasons. Thank you, Dak Prescott. But still, just thinking about how lucky we are as broadcasters get to cover winning programs more often than not. And then also just have terrific people to work alongside all the time. DJ Pulley, one of those. But, man, also these coaches. And I pointed out at the top of the show, it's National Coaches Day. I'm just thankful, Josh, not only for the personalities that we have, but the grateful hearts of these coaches that we have, that they are kind enough to share their time with us, both on Monday nights when we do Crusader Talk, but also throughout the week. If we have a spare chance to go out to the CAF and enjoy lunch with some of them, they'll entertain us and field questions and just, you know, sit down and act like we're all friends and family sitting around a dinner table. This is a Carey family, and I really mean that in the word family, because they adopt you as one of their own.
No, they certainly do. And, you know, in a day and age where I think that a lot of people that work in intercollegiate athletics have the mindset of, well, you know, this just is the way it is now. There are people that choose to be a Carey. That could be at a lot of places, and they choose to be at Carey, or choose to come to Carey, or for decades on end choose to stay at Carey, and that's because it's a special place for all the reasons you just mentioned.
Yeah, very special indeed. All right, time now to talk about Crusader of the Week, and I tell you what, the school has made this a little bit easy on me because instead of waiting for us to crown the Crusader of the Week, they have been fortunate enough to get that out to the social media platforms before we even hit record. So that said, our Crusaders of the Week are from a sport that we have not even mentioned today, and that is from cross country. So Matthew McGuire and Christina Stojanovic. I'm guessing that's at least close. But Matthew McGuire finished 53 out of 417 runners at a 5:14 mile pace. I could not even touch that. Running, much less on a bicycle, maybe on my car if I'm not on Hardy Street at 5 o'clock. But great showing from McGuire there. And then for Christina, she was third out of 205 runners at a big meet over the week and a 6:08 mile pace. So shout out to those two Crusaders. Great job running for Coach McKenzie and company over the weekend. Y'all are awesome, and y'all are our Crusaders of the Week. Well, Josh, looking forward to hearing a little bit more about how volleyball goes this weekend. We'll also get to recap some big soccer matchups with Mobile, both in women's and men's soccer. It should be a fun week for all of us.
Yeah, it will be. And the message to volleyball, get healthy.
Please.
Get healthy, ladies.
And everybody else, and a special prayer request out to our coaches, especially Coach Fletcher and Coach Farrell, for the two different reasons we mentioned at the top of the show. If you miss that, catch us on demand wherever you get podcasts. Just search for Crusader Talk, but they could appreciate your prayers this evening. But that'll do it for us tonight on Crusader Talk. Our thanks to Coach Jessica Garriga for joining us earlier, and for Dalton Stanford manning the board on this very unique, somewhat remote edition of Crusader Talk. For Josh West, I'm Caleb Hamill. Till next time, good night, God bless, and go Saders.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.